Today on Snail Trail 4x4, Tyler discovers jelly balls and Jimmy gets hammer lung.
Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to you by Bestline Racing. Bestline Racing has a complete lineup of performance additives for your engine's needs. From our oil additives to our fuel treatments, we have you covered for your hobby, tow rig, race car, or your daily driver. Check the show notes for your Snail Trail 4x4 discount at bestlineracing.com.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun in Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how fantastical Toyotas on dry lake beds are, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. My name is Tyler, and I was not on a dry lake bed recently, but somebody else was here, and his name is Jimmy. And he's joining us once again back in the studio, back from, I don't know, the redneck Burning Man.
Right.
Jimmy, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Doing pretty good.
Glad.
Yeah, I have a lot going on, as always, but It's fun. It's all good, fun stuff that's going on, so.
That's good.
Makes it worthwhile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta sound super excited.
You have to sound.
I need to sound super excited.
You don't sound very excited.
I don't.
Now.
No. See,
can you work on that, please?
Yeah, then? I guess so. Because I had a listener.
Okay.
Sean. Borja.
Okay.
Jeremy's brother. Say, are you really into the podcast thing?
Are you
enjoying it? I'm like, yeah, why? Like, it's great. I mean, it's fun. We chat, we have fun. It's, you know, we get to meet a lot of cool people. We have crazy, stupid conversations. We get proven wrong half the time.
Yeah, you know, right.
What's not to like? And he's like, you just don't sound like you're into it. I'm like, but Sean, you know me.
Yeah.
Am I a monotone kind of person? And he's like, Well, yeah. I'm like, okay.
There
like,
you go. There
you know. So Sean, I'm excited.
You're excited today?
I'm super excited for today.
That's good. I'm glad to see you get some peppiness in your walk over here now.
I know.
You know, if you can sound more like Steve from the Total Offroad podcast, that'd be great.
I don't know if that's possible.
You got to get a little twang in there.
Yeah. Something. I don't know. What are those north? What do you call that geographic area of the country?
Those are.
In the south. They're not at the east coast. The south.
I was going to say, I know what their accent is called.
Yeah.
Hillbilly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Redneck. I don't know. What do you call that northern central part of the country?
Northern central United States.
There you go. I wonder if they claim that they're East Coasters.
I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah.
I'm sure we'll hear
Steve,
back.
Let us know. Oh man. So we have a lot of, we have some fun updates for everybody today. I have some fun updates for you.
Oh yay.
Because
see,
I've been,
that was excitement.
Good job. Thanks. You need to give yourself a round of applause from the studio audience here.
Excellent.
That's not a round of applause. That's the wrong button. There we go. Good job. Oh man. We have a couple new patrons.
Yes, we do.
A couple. We have a few, like, actually.
Three.
Four.
Four.
Yeah, you're gonna laugh at one of them. So first one is in no particular order. Chris Leidich.
Leidich. Hey, Chris.
Leidich. 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 Lay Leidich. Leidich. Something like that.
Just stick with it the first time, what I found, and yeah. Then that way nobody second
nobody knows.
Yeah. The only person that will know is that person.
Gotcha. Okay. So let's start over. The first one, in no particular order, is Chris Leidich.
Hey, Chris. What's going on?
Welcome.
See how good that went?
It was great. Yeah thank you. The second one has one name, so I'm guessing he's going after like the weekend.
kind of thing. Okay. So his name is McCoy.
Hey, McCoy.
And I'm guessing he's the real McCoy, not the false McCoy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say McLovin, but yeah.
He's McLovin. Dude, I saw a distraction here now. There was some news program did an interview with McLovin, the good actor.
Yeah.
And that he's doing a new project, something like that. And I was just looking at him and I was like, he looks so old now.
Yeah.
And I looked it up and I was like, that movie freaking came out, I think it was 2005 or 2006.
Okay. So 15 years ago.
15 years ago is when that movie came out. I was like, okay, no wonder he looks older. Right. So anyways, McCoy, welcome. Thank you for the support.
Speaking of old actors, have you seen the Home Alone kid? Why can't I think of his name?
Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah.
I have not.
He looks old too.
Really?
But I mean, that movie was like in 89, 93 or
something.
The
first one?
Like,
yeah. The first, know? Yeah.
So.
Oh, man.
Which was like 20 years ago.
Yeah. That's 30 years. 40 years ago. What? 30 years ago.
I know.
That's, I don't know how to do math.
So far.
We need to get Constantine back to help us with our math.
Sure.
Next one is Aaron Russell, not to be confused with Aaron Russell. It's Aaron.
Aaron. Welcome, Aaron.
Aaron. I believe he's the Aussie Aaron.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That we sent some stuff down to you.
Yes.
And then the last one is a guy named Mike.
Hi, Mike.
You know him as Truck Norris.
Oh, yeah. I know. How random.
Right?
I'm like, dude, I messaged him, and I'm like, dude, you don't need to be a patron. Right. Like, I appreciate it, but like, it's not that necessary. And he's like, nah, man, you guys make me laugh. So, I'm like, okay, you can pay me to laugh.
So I think he did it. So he came over and picked up a couple of handheld radios to borrow, right?
Okay.
To go down to King of the Hammers with. And I gave him some Snail Trail 4x4 treasure hunt tokens,
sure,
to go hide, because he goes up and, you know, goes, yeah, does a lot of wheeling up on the weekends and weekdays and whenever he wants to.
Oh.
And so he saw the tokens. He goes, these are cool. And I was kind of explained how everything was working. He goes, that's awesome. And then he signed up later that afternoon. And I was like,
so now he has like 4 or 5 tokens.
Yeah, right. So if you get any messages from Mike with a picture of a token,
right,
invalidated.
Okay. Wouldn't need to get those back.
Yeah,
now
we need to get those back. So anyways, that
was
probably
just handing them out like candy to his friends,
right? So anyways, yeah, that's the 4 new patrons. Thank you guys for all your support, and because of you guys we get to do really fun giveaways like this one, which is for February, which is the some more gear wrench tools.
Yes.
What is it exactly we have? It's so far slated for the giveaway is about $220 value. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to try and get it up to $300.
Okay. Yeah.
So
that's probably quite easily doable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so we got their brand new tongue and groove Pitbull pliers in. They're a really cool tongue and groove. They're not the automatic auto bite ones, which are even
the Autobot ones.
Autobite. It's German.
Yeah, and they're special German tongue and groove pliers.
Yeah,
yeah.
But these ones are neat because they have the teeth are angled in a certain way so that you don't have to go straight onto the bolt head, like perpendicular or parallel to the bolt. Whatever way you want to say it, you can actually be upwards of a 30 degree angle,
yeah,
and still get as good as a bite as if you were straight on.
Nice.
Yeah.
I can do that too sometimes.
I'm proud of you.
get a good bite.
Along in that kit, I think there's 2 tongue and groove pliers in there. There's just some regular snips. There's some needle nose. There's some regular pliers, and there's lineman pliers.
Now,
all in that kit.
These are the new ones where you can very easily cut through nails,
yes,
with just the regular linemans,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's the snip feature on the needle nose, obviously the snips, and then the lineman pliers.
Uh-huh.
And we've been out a few times where Gear Wrench Corey has been demoing these and, yeah, hands people a 6-penny nail,
yeah,
and says, cut this. And it's with one hand, you can just snip right through it.
Yeah.
It's quite impressive.
There may or may not be some nails sitting around the Rough Stuff parking lot, just FYI.
Yeah, exactly. careful when you pull in.
Yeah.
So that entire set right there retails for about $89.
Okay.
So we're going to be giving away that. And then we also have one last wing light and hood latch set up. Mm-hmm. That we've talked about a few times in the past, so we don't.
That wing light's awesome.
The wing light is what makes it.
I was really hoping that you were going to forget that you had that tucked away in the shop, and I was going to take it because I need more LED lights.
I think on your shelf in my shop, there's still a light there.
Really?
Yeah.
I have an uncollected light in the shop.
Yeah, from Gearing.
Man.
Yeah.
I am failing.
I know. and then we still have like a little box of some goodies that we're going to go through, and there'll be some variety of something along the lines of was that as vague as I could get it?
Yeah, that'll work.
just socket rails or some sort of random other assortment of pliers or, some screwdrivers or something, that we'll add to this kit to get it up to that $300 mark.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that'll be cool. That's going to be February, the end of February. You guys have until to get on to that's, and we start over. You guys have until the end of February to get on that. And that is this year, February 28th.
Yes.
Is the end of February this year. Mm-hmm. So we'll do the poll the winner the first week of March. I don't think we have anything going on that would keep us from doing it this time.
Yeah.
So
we just won't try to forget again.
Yeah. So we'll get that. But we never forgot.
Yeah. Shh. I do.
People know.
I did today or yesterday. I did recall something that we have coming up that we're going to need to spend some time on.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
A gift box?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was like, what do we have coming up?
Due.
Dang it.
So,
that's right. That's in April, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Or
okay.
March, April.
I think it's supposed to be in April.
April
and October.
It's around Easter.
Yeah.
Isn't that in March this year?
I don't know. I just did it every 6 months.
Yeah. So. 6 months from October.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
So those are coming up. So we need to get our butts in gear and actually start collecting things. I have one decent idea so far that.
Okay.
But if anybody out there, and you're in that $20 tier, wants something specific from us, reach out and we'll see if we can acquire it.
Yeah, let us know. I think it'd be cool. I want to get something in there like the cord mugs we did last time. Mm-hmm. That's laser engraved with the Snail Trail 4x4. Now that we have the laser, we can.
Yeah,
we can do some more laser projects and see what we can get in there.
Yeah, for sure. We can't do anything necessarily round at this time unless we buy the rotary head, but which is like $800.
Yeah.
The one from the company we purchased the laser. I'm sure that we can find one like a rotisserie style thing on for cooking that might work.
Just throw in what is that thing? The George Foreman grill? Not the Foreman. Those are flat. The set it and forget it ones.
The Ron Popeil. Isn't that the Ron Popeil thing?
I don't remember what they are. You stick them on the pokey things and put it in and it just rotates inside an oven. Okay. Well, cool. Yeah. Well, let us know if you guys have any ideas and we'll see what we can do for making those into the gift box. So just to kind of an update on it because we haven't talked about them for a while because they're closed off. Mm-hmm. You cannot get in the gift box tier. We only open up the gift box tier for moving up and getting into on Patreon twice a year.
Yeah.
So 60 days a year. The gift box tier is open and available for you guys to go up on. And it's essentially you are paying, if you're already in the giveaway tier, bumping up to the gift box tier is only an extra $60 a year to do. $60 every 6 months, right?
Yeah.
And so, and of that $60, we turn it into $100 worth of product for you guys. So it's a pretty cool value there, and I don't think we really make any money on it.
No,
it's just
don't.
Something fun that we like putting together and we get a kick out of. So
yeah, I mean, it's crazy because we try to use $40-ish to create $100 because it costs us almost $20 in shipping.
Yeah.
To send everything across country.
Yeah.
It's within $40 we try to hit that $100 mark, which is quite impressive that we can do.
And we've been able to do it both times
Two times.
Yep.
And it's just the power of bulk buy, right?
Yeah.
We can contact companies and we'd be like, hey, we want to purchase 60 or 40 of these. Mm-hmm. What kind of discount can you get us?
Yeah.
And that's what turns the favor, you know, turns in the favor for everybody.
Yeah.
We also need Brian Murphy to step up his game for the next box.
Yeah, he needs to start designing that. We'll wait and see what he comes up with now. He has been doing a better job than Dino, though, at producing and helping out with the production of the show. So I think it just helps that he has arms that are long and can actually reach things.
And opposable thumbs.
Opposable thumbs. I don't know. I haven't confirmed that about Brian yet. I don't know if he has opposable thumbs.
He was supposed to come out and meet me. Didn't.
He didn't?
No.
What a jerk.
I know.
He was afraid that the Tundra wouldn't look good next to Clifford.
Maybe.
Unless he was going to bring the BMW out. That would have
Would have made it.
I know.
I mean, that Boone Road was...
They had it graded good this year?
Yeah, it was great.
Nice.
It was graded great. Yeah, I mean, we cruised in pretty smooth. I messaged Jason, and I said, hey, am I going to need to air down Clifford when I get onto Boone Road? And he's like, no, dude, a Tesla could make it in. I was like, okay.
Did you see any Teslas? We'll get into that later. Don't answer that. I wanted to go over, there was a couple more things. We got some more reviews.
Oh, good.
Coming in, getting closer to 500.
We're almost to 200.
We're almost to 200. We're at 190 right now.
Yeah.
So, but we've had a few come in, and let's see here. The first one is from Z Summer Hayes. He says, great podcast for random off-road Great entertainment for your ride to the trail or in your ear holes via headphones while grinding on your next project. One closer to 500, boys.
So, awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Z Summer Hayes. And then the next one was, I feel like we read this one. It's from D Kurek. Didn't we read that one already?
I don't know.
He says, this is a great podcast for those that like to tinker with their rigs. My 05 Tacoma was basically stock for 15 years. And my son and I recently discovered the awesomeness of wheeling and simply getting away on the trails. I've taken a DIY approach to all the mods and am nowhere close to a certified mechanic. And I always learn a few things. Listen to Jimmy and Tyler. Keep it up, fellas. Oh, and I volunteered to drop off a few pucks in Central Texas.
Oh, cool.
Big Bend National Park and the National Seashore on the Gulf Coast.
Nice. Yeah, so, hit me up. Email me, jimmy@snailtrail4x4.com. Mm-hmm. I've got a good little list going with people. And
nice.
Yeah, more or less, I just need your name and address and where you're located so I can send you some and
cool.
organize it a little.
Yeah, we're getting some more pucks out. I dropped off two in the past few days. So
nice.
We'll get those listed up on Patreon here shortly. We'll save the other two reviews. There's two more here. We'll save them for later.
Cool.
But I did have some feedback from a couple of key individuals
that
I thought was pretty funny. And these are another one of the reasons why I love doing this podcast. So we talked a little bit from the Snowmageddon episode.
Yeah.
About, you know, just different things for snow camping, right? What makes snow camping...
How to survive.
How to survive in the snow, yeah.
Yeah.
And so this one came in from Christopher Gernert.
Perfect.
Perfect. There we go. He said, hey, Tyler, I just finished the Monday's podcast, and another great fire starter is cotton balls covered in petroleum jelly.
Yeah.
They burn no matter what, and they are water repellent, so they should burn even when wet. Also, the losing 80% of the heat from your head is a myth.
Is it?
Yeah. Originally started as a hypothesis by the U.S. Army decades ago, the head only makes up 10% of the body's total surface area and would have to transfer 40 times more heat than the rest of the body. Although keeping your head and ears warm does give the sensation of being warmer because of the thin and sensitive skin of the ears.
Hmm.
So
cover your ears.
So cover your ears. Yeah. And cover your ears and jelly balls
jelly
is
balls.
What I got from his note. And then another note came in, and I'm going to read it, and then you're going to get to guess who wrote it.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. He says, all right, let me give you my monthly recap. First of all,
Sherpa.
First of all, you mentioned that you're not in a lot of snail trail videos, but your hands make appearances often. That means you're the official fluffer of the snail trail. Congrats to that. And those of you who don't know what that means, ask your parents. He goes on to say, I needed to write in to let you know Mr. Outdoors Extraordinaire is so very wrong about poison oak. You get it like a bitch in the winter because the leaves fall off and it's just sticks. But the sticks do have the same amount of oil as the leaves. Big problem for dirt bike riders hitting trails in wintertime. I get it all the time because you can't identify it. As for sleeping bags, wife and I use one field and stream negative 20 degree fold out as a blanket with a wool blanket underneath. We've camped in 9 degrees in the desert and still been super warm. Also, airplane fuel works as a winter fire starter. It burns snow. Winter camp essential is propane torch. Any guesses? Is that
Seanzilla?
Yes.
Okay.
It is. Yep.
Sean. He got me at, I thought it would have been Sherpa until he said wife.
Yeah. So yeah, that was Sean. He was letting me know about the whole talk about the sleeping bags and what I'm going to do with the sleeping bag, my sleeping arrangements for the snow. I have some feedback as well for my personal findings, but I'll save that for another episode. But yeah, I thought that was kind of fun to find out that I'm the official snail trail fluffer now, apparently.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Job well done. And that's all the updates I had for you.
Nice. So. Yeah, I didn't. I got a few people messaging me about that snow episode. Nothing really exciting, but
yeah. Kind of like you during podcasting?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, gotcha. No, you gave up?
I'm not on the right tier. I was going to do a...
okay. We're going to nickname you Eeyore, and you're going to compete with our other buddy Eeyore. You're going to have Eeyore 1 and Eeyore 2.
That's funny. I have one of my good friends from college. His voice message is literally like, "Hi, guys. Thanks for calling. Make sure you leave a message. Thanks for noticing me." That's almost verbatim.
Is that his personality or is that...
No, he just did it.
Okay.
It's super hilarious.
That's funny. I remember back in the day when everyone used to leave voicemails like, "Hello? Yeah, just a minute. Hold on. Sorry, I can't hear you."
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just kidding. This is a voicemail. Leave a message. So... good times. You just got back from the Redneck Burning Man.
I did.
Also known as King of the Hammers.
Yeah.
Where a semi-local guy won it. Won the 4400, I should say. He's in Reno.
Oh, I was like, yeah. Where is he? I
don't know where he's from. He's in Reno. So
I was like, we Gomez kinda, has got second.
Yeah, right? Second and third.
Second and third.
Yeah.
More local.
Yeah. No, we just in NorCal, we like to claim Reno when we want to.
Yeah. when it benefits us.
Thank you. There we go.
So we're going to get hate mail from Amber.
That's fine. That's fine. She's good for it.
Yeah.
And nobody can, anything she says, you ever listen to her talk or look at her or watch her or anything like that, you can't ever take her as being a serious mean person. So
no, he can't.
Whenever she sends something in, I'm just going to read it in my head as her happy-go-lucky, funny, little cheery voice. And I'm going to be like, she's not mad.
Next time I see her, I'm going to ask her to probably see if I can record her saying something mean. And we'll put it as one of these sound bites.
That'd be funny. So how was your time down there? You weren't down there for quite a week. You were down there 4 days, 3 days, three and a half.
I drove down on Wednesday.
It's okay. You can talk about yourself in the third person.
Well, I drove down, but then I ended up meeting people along the way and we started caravanning.
Gotcha. So, okay.
Yeah.
That makes more sense then.
Yes. So yeah, I had to take the assistant's assistant to school on Wednesday and then pretty much got jetted out right after that. I took a shower and went to the gas station and then jetted out. But I was like, I don't know when the next time I'm going to take a shower is. So yeah. I'm going to take one like
right before
I leave. So it went pretty good. I cruised all the way down 99 down to Bakersfield and got 15 miles per gallon towing Bobcat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. That seems low for Clifford, isn't it?
No, that's good for towing.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mean, if I'm just driving Clifford around, it gets like 18. so, you know.
I guess that's true. I mean, I think about it. The EcoBoost, I was getting 12 to 12 and a half towing Kermit around. So,
yeah,
getting a 7.3 to do 15, I guess, is pretty good.
Yeah, it was. I'm impressed because I did a tow one time. I think it was up to Meadow Lake, and it was up Highway 80. I got 9.5 miles per gallon.
Okay.
And when I was towing out to Moab, I was getting between 11 and 13.
Okay.
So 15 going down the state was pretty decent.
Pretty good.
It is about as flat as you can get for highways, yes, right? You know, so you're just cruising along and, you know, and I wasn't going too fast. I was like 63 miles an hour or something. Just
okay.
So in Bakersfield, I met up with Lee and Tony.
Okay.
Lee, Outsane FJ80, and he's in his FJ80.
Yeah.
And Tony has a Tundra.
Okay.
And so, And on the way down, I realized that...
was his ABS working just fine?
Yeah, seems to.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
On the way down, I realized I completely forgot to bring Tony's Tundra's tailgate, snail armor tailgate. And I knew that Samurai James and Lady Samurai were coming down also.
Okay.
And I was like, dude, is there any way that you can meet my father or somebody and pick up a panel? You know? And so they're like, yeah, man, no problem.
Nice.
And so they left at like 11 something.
Okay.
And met my dad at Sunsplash.
Okay.
And picked up the panel and then headed down. And then they caught up with us.
Really? Uh-huh. What?
Yeah.
How fast are they booking it?
I don't know. You can do the math. They caught up with us a little ways outside of Tehachapi, kind of by the Mojave exit.
Wow.
Yeah. So okay. I saw them coming for a ways, and I just put Clifford's pedal down, and I got up to like 75 or 80, and then he right up next to me and starts waving, and I was like trying to pull away from him. It didn't work.
But, okay.
So then he fell in line, and we all got on we were all on the radio. And
were they towing the samurai down?
No.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, it was just... Yeah, so Samurai James has been working down in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
And so he had to go on Monday. He had to be in San Diego. And
the Monday after King of the Hammers?
Yeah.
Okay.
And gotcha. So Lady Samurai, we had organized that I was going to actually take Lady Samurai home.
Oh, okay.
And then they dropped a car off at my house on Tuesday or something.
Okay.
So I'll just, then I...
So that's whose car that was. Mm-hmm. Okay. Me and Hussman were trying to figure out whose car was there by the shop.
Yeah. So when I went home, Lady Samurai and I cruised all the way back to my place, and then she took off in her car.
Gotcha.
So I didn't have to
go all the way up there.
Up and back, or however it worked out.
Yeah. Okay. So the drive down was uneventful?
Yeah. For the most part.
How was the weather over Tehachapi?
It was fine.
It was fine.
It got cold, but it wasn't. There's no weather, no precipitation or anything.
Because that gets windy.
Yes.
It's usually, if there's a lot of wind weather up and over Tehachapi, it's just wind.
Yeah.
Which wreaks havoc on any vehicle towing, but
yeah, it wasn't that bad. Outside of Stockton, I did have a guy in the middle lane lose a hay bale.
What? In the middle of the freeway?
Yeah, in the middle of the freeway. Driving down the freeway, lost a hay bale. There was a semi in front of me, and the semi started veering off the freeway right into the shoulder. And I see this hay bale just sliding into the slow lane where I am, and I turn on my blinker to try to identified to the guy behind me.
Yeah.
And I veer around and try to give it as much berth as possible with trying to more or less leave a bigger visual area for the semi behind me.
Yeah.
Right. And he misses it. And then I actually ended up calling 911.
Oh, geez.
And
yeah.
I said, you know, just, hey, somebody lost a hay bale in the middle of the freeway. You know,
I'm that's right Stockton here. Too. So
yeah,
it happens.
Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah. They're like, it's a Tuesday thing.
Yeah. Hay bales or shootings. And I think that was really, but there was something else. In the previous episode, we talked about the weird vibrations I was having on the way down. And then I'll follow up with that on my, about my trip home. Try to remind me.
Okay.
So I just had the weird vibrations that I checked out and, which really kind of turned, I'm assuming it was the road, cause it, you know, a few miles down the road, it wasn't really happening anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, so besides that, it was pretty smooth sailing. So yeah, so we got to Hammertown fine. Finding camp was just a little bit of a pain, because all the people's rigs that we were looking for were like in the middle of a camp. Like, sort of. So we're like, where's the buggy? Where's the LJ? Where's, you know, the Chris's camper? Because I knew he was down there, you know.
Did Chris bring his Jeep?
No, Chris did not. Well, and that was another thing is Chris left the same day that we showed up. So we were kind of aiming, trying to find somebody that we knew, and we couldn't see anybody.
So does that mean that Chris gets another letter added on for his for sale sign?
Maybe you could do it for, like, the week. Or the 7 days for every day he was there for the 7 days, he subtracted a letter, but every day that he missed, he added a letter.
Okay.
So however you want to play.
We'll see. We'll talk with Jason and Chris about that.
Yeah. So, eventually I just ended up calling somebody at camp. I think I called Jason and I don't think he answered. And then I ended up getting a hold of Kobe, I think. And, he was like, yeah, we're right here. And I was like, no, like, where is here? Yeah, where is- and then eventually, and it was funny cause I was like four wheel driving and Clifford, who's only a two wheel drive pulling a trailer. And I'm going through these like sort of big or like very small hills in a way. So I was like, you know, I was like carrying enough momentum to where I was losing traction, but the momentum would carry me till I got it again. You know,
okay, kind of thing.
You know, I think it was Samurai James or somebody's like, Jimmy, you're pulling the trailer. I wouldn't go this way. I'm like, no, this is Clifford. I'm coming. And it made it.
Yeah.
So eventually I found a good parking spot with some help from the friends and set up camp. For the most part, just flipped the rooftop tent open. Oh, I should say that that the day before on Tuesday, I ran over to Rough Stuff.
Okay.
And I bought their low profile rooftop tent rack.
Gotcha.
The one that I have on
Charlotte.
That I have for Charlotte. Uh-huh. I bought another one. They have a universal one.
Okay.
For more or less any truck. And because the Tacomas and the Tundras have like a rail inside the bed that they attach it to, but they have this other system that you can use for almost any other truck.
Okay.
And so but Clifford's bed is so massive that I was like, hey, I kind of need to custom order this
on Tuesday,
you know? And they're like, what do you need? And the max length they sold on their paperwork is 70 inches or on the website is 70 inches.
And that's the pipes that that's go the, how from long rail the to pipes rail are, across.
Yeah. Okay. And I said I needed 73 inches.
Okay.
Cause that's how far it would be. And they're like, oh yeah, no problem.
Nice.
You know, I'll go out and cut those right now. You know, I'm not going to charge you for 6 inches. Like, don't worry about it. And so I was super stoked. So, the benefit of that was now
there's a lot of other people that hang out around certain corners at nighttime that will charge you for extra 6 inches.
Oh yeah.
So just FYI. Yeah.
And if I had 6 inches extra, you know,
you'd charge for it too.
I would too.
Okay. Fair.
But the benefit of that allowed me to put the rooftop tent onto Clifford.
Yeah.
And not on, because I really the only bed racks that I had would fit on Bobcat. So now I have a four wheel and a home tent or a home.
You have a bed over camper and a trailer. You're almost to a landslide.
Almost to landslide.
Halfway there.
Yeah. So it made a home base.
This
is more or less what it did. And then I have the crawler that I can go out. Like if we did a night run, which we did.
Night run.
You know, then I didn't have to fold my tent up to go out and wheel to come home to make my camp again.
Yeah.
So that was really nice to not have to break camp every day.
Yeah.
So that worked out well.
So speaking of setting up camp and having it going, how was that fridge and battery?
Oh, baby. That was nice.
Uh-huh.
So I borrowed your Jackery and then the solar panels, and then I bought your old fridge off of you.
Mm-hmm. The one that we were having trouble keeping on at 11.1 or 11 volts, and then it stayed on at 11.1, but it wouldn't kick on at 11.
Yeah, something odd like that. Everything worked great. It was a phenomenal system. It was nice to have a fridge down there. I didn't need it because they do such epic meals.
Yeah.
That really was just filled with beer and my coffee and, you know, and some creamer. But that was about it. And so I kind of could, in theory, I could have just brought beer down and thrown it in their fridge.
Yeah.
Fridges or coolers, whatever. But it was nice. I'm highly considering going into a system like that. It just worked. Okay. It was so easy. The hardest part was trying to keep the solar panel in the sun.
And not dusty.
And not dusty.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because where I set up camp, it was like between a camper and another camper. And the best part, the best area to like organize my camp didn't allow for a lot of placement of the solar panels.
Gotcha.
So there's a few times like I'd come back, you know, from going down to Hammertown or going out somewhere and the solar panels are in the shade.
Yeah.
You don't know, oh, I got to move it over here now. And then, so like I kind of figured out a rotation by the end of the trip. And I was like, oh, well, okay, let's pack it up.
Yeah.
And, but it worked. I mean, the fridge was cold the whole time. My beer was chilly.
Did the battery pretty much stay at 100% the whole time then?
Yeah, for the most part, I charged my phone at night.
Okay.
Off of the battery. And so it brought it down to like 98.
Yeah. Okay.
Or something, you know, and then the next day I charged it right back up.
Okay. Cause I've found that, so far with that thing, if you just run the battery down to like 70, 65 to 70% and then throw the solar panel out for like 2 to 3 hours of sun, it usually charges the battery up almost all the way back to full.
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily need it to need to chase the sun all day long kind of thing. But yeah,
I think I did draw it down one of the days because I had two or three things plugged into it. Like I had my phone plugged into it. I had a charging for the Osmo battery plugged into it and the phone that I used for the Osmo plugged into it. And then the fridge was plugged into it. And I think that was it. So there was like four things plugged into it.
Okay.
And I think it wasn't able to keep up, but I didn't, like I was charging for like an hour,
you know,
and then it brought it right back up.
So yeah.
No, it worked. It's great. It worked out awesome. Like
nice.
Yeah, it was. And I ended up using it in the car also. Mm-hmm. Like I plugged it. I think when I was talking to you, I ended up changing what I did.
Okay.
So I used I plugged the Jackery into the car.
Okay.
The fridge into the Jackery.
Yeah.
And then I had a few things plugged into the Jackery because it has like three USBs on the front.
Yep.
So otherwise I'd have to pull the fridge out to put my USB cigarette lighter, you know, in.
Yeah.
And then the fridge is getting cold. So I was like, wait, I can reconfigure this whole situation. And so I can have three USBs, which I don't need. I just needed one.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it worked out. Yeah, it worked great. And that was the next morning for the most part. That's more or less that night. I just threw open the tent and made my bed and threw some stuff in the tent and grabbed a beer and started hanging out.
There you go.
So the next morning it was set up the camp for me, more or less. Take Bobcat off the trailer, you know. And,
go park on the buggy.
Yeah, that that morning, actually. So we have two guests on episode 170.
Okay.
So we interviewed them.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That morning.
Cool.
One of them, I gave a snail armor tailgate to.
Okay.
So
perfect.
Yeah. And you'll hear all about that on episode 170.
Yeah.
Then the rest of that day was kind of, it was fairly low key. Went down to Hammertown, got my media credentials, went around a little bit. To like, we went out to like back door and checked that out, and then we had our listener meetup.
Yeah, that Thursday.
That Thursday, at 4 o'clock, and the only person that showed up, which at least somebody showed up, was Weld's Taco.
Nice,
Rob.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I've never met him in person. You know, talked to him a bunch of times on Instagram, and so it was really nice to meet him. And
get
to you know, chat with him, and
he has a bunch of really cool custom built stuff in his truck. That's really neat for, I guess, overlanding, I guess, but like hardcore wheeling at the same time. So
he has a great Tacoma, which is, it's really cool. It's unique for sure. I mean, in the place of like the spare tire, you know, he has a water tank, you know, and then he put like kind of where some people put a dual ARB compressor. He ended up putting, the pump for the water tank, you know, so he has all these things, you know, just kind of hidden throughout his rig. That, it's really cool to see. So he has like pressurized water on his rig, which is rad. So he hung out for a while and then, he took off and then we pretty much, Samurai James came down with me. And so he, we took off and that was about, 4:45, you know, nobody else was around. So we went back up to camp. I don't think we did anything else really that day, except for hang out. I walked around, Hammertown a bit and, ran into a few people there, which was fun.
Was Thursday, was there any qualifying going on Thursday?
You know, I'm not even sure what, there was racing going on, but I don't know what it was.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And so that evening, we just hung out at camp. We relaxed. And then, Weld's Taco showed up again.
Okay. And, back at camp.
Yeah. At camp. And you know, cause I was like, you got to come to camp. We got a bunch of whiskey and he's like, I'm in. And so that was fun. And I think Norris showed up that night.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so that was pretty cool. I helped out with dinner that night. We had like a German meal, Spätzle and like, I'm not sure what it is, but
Autobite.
Yeah, I was in charge of the bread and battering, and we had like stamped pork chops, and like I breaded it.
Yep.
You know, and then Dirtbag Johnny was deep frying them in the pan of oil, and then we had this like mac and cheese sort of thing that was really good. It was sort of a rice.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
So it was a German meal, German theme.
German themed meal.
Okay. Did you get the snuff shooter?
I don't know. I'm going to say no to that.
Okay, you're going to have to come to Oktoberfest with those guys this year.
Yeah. And I mean the meals. It's impossible to talk bad about the meals that they do. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had two. They had three 2-burner Camp Chef stoves in the kitchen area, quotes, right?
The kitchen area is like a 30x15 tent. So it's like 2 15x15 tents put together.
Yeah, it's 10x20, I think.
10x20, okay.
Yeah. And then they have a 10x10 outside of that also.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they got the Wi-Fi and they had a TV in there and they were, so we were watching the races on the TV in the kitchen, you know, it was nuts. And the stoves were out or the fire pits were out and the big old fire pit was, you know, there was an outdoor one.
Yeah.
It was a really cool spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So Friday, Every Man Challenge Day,
EMC,
woke up fairly early to the sound of trucks starting, even though we were way up the hill from anything.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and then there was Amber cause we were camping in.
So you hear all these trucks starting and then you hear this wee.
Yeah. Amber's group was just walking around. I don't know if they were yelling at the camp or yelling at their like
each other.
Yeah. Or the like pit crew or something, but they're like, wake up, it's race day, you know? And so I woke up and, I got the camera ready. I got my media vest on. I got all packed up and ready. Went down to Hammertown, started filming, saw Ultra 4 Jones, saw D Miller with a welder, Derek. Nice.
Did he pass tech?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, he was racing. That was one regret is I actually never got down to the pits and got to see them. I only ever saw them like in Hammertown.
Okay.
So I wish on Wednesday or Thursday I would have gone down there and just
hung out with them a little bit. Yes.
And Ultra 4 Jones and I didn't do a back-to-back height test.
Oh,
but I think he's taller than I am.
You think he is?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got me. I think he's got that, or his hat was perched up a little bit. I don't know.
It's probably his hat. Yeah. He wears a hat all the time in order to look taller. So
there you go. But I don't know. I think he's got me. I'm 5'7 3/4".
Okay.
And I know that because in college I had a roommate who said he was 5'10".
Okay.
And I said, no, you're not. I'm taller than you. And he was like, no, you're not. I'm 5'10". I'm like, I'm 5'8". I'm taller than you.
Yeah.
So my Jimbo busted out a tape measure and like, stood against the wall and he put the tape measure against the wall, and they put like a book on it. And he's like, okay, Jimmy, you're 5'7¾".
Okay.
And I said, okay, cool. My the other college roommate, Justin, was 5'6".
How is he off by 4 inches?
Yeah, 4 inches. I don't know. And so he was like, that tape measure's wrong. I'm 5'10". Like all this shit. And we're like, so I know what height I am, but So all right, Ultra 4 Jones, let me know who's actually taller.
I'm 5'15".
Yeah,
there just you go. FYI. Almost 5'16".
Yeah. It was like it's my 19th anniversary of 21.
Yeah, right.
So was walking around through all the ultra the Everyman Challenge rigs and getting a lot of film, and went and caught the starts of a bunch of them and caught the jump, and then after that we just go back up to camp and we make breakfast, right? Because yeah, it's like they're gone for like an hour.
Yeah, out in the desert, you can't see anything.
Yeah. And so, and then, Lee and I, went up just up from camp a little ways and there's, the track goes like right behind our camp.
Yep.
And so we were catching all these people coming around on the first lap and going back into Hammertown.
Gotcha.
And so that was cool. And we're just parked at the boundary line, like an official person comes up to us and goes, no, you guys are good. Just if you see anybody, tell them they're not allowed to go past that. And
gotcha.
Like, cool, man. Thanks. We're sitting in the back of Bobcat having a drink and, doing some filming. And
nice.
He sat there for the most part the whole time and then went down to catch people's finishing, caught Ultra Drone's finish. I think overall he got 11th in his class.
Very disappointed, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He said his goal was top 10.
Yeah. He just won out.
Missed it by one. You had just tried harder at backdoor, you would have made it.
He got 11th. In his class, and I think 14th overall.
Yeah, something like that.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
Awesome. So, yeah, and then caught Justin Hall finish, and caught...
Kevin beat Justin, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, pretty sure he did. I saw Kevin higher than Justin.
Kevin, so. Ultra 4 Jones finished before Justin did, but I don't know who started first or where they start, how they started in time-wise.
At least the official finish listed on Ultra 4 Racing, Kevin was higher.
Oh, so, wow. Okay. Yeah. And then, we were listening to Amber's channel and she ended up timing out.
Yeah.
Derek, ended up breaking a tie rod.
They don't let samurais do the EV course.
Yeah, right. Derek ended up breaking a tie rod, but welded it.
Okay.
And then... just had a few more problems going down the line.
Okay.
The EV guys
did
finished.
He take like a ready welder with him?
Yeah,
or something?
He did.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. They bent the tie. They hit something.
Yeah.
Bent the tie rod back into the axle.
Okay.
Ripped it out of the tie rod end.
Jeez.
Rewelded it and flipped it around 180 so it was bent out.
Okay.
And adjusted it.
So if they hit anything again, it's now straight?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
There's a great photo of Derek on top of a bed of a Toyota pickup. Like, like trying to nerf him, but went over it. And he's like, well, I think this is where I broke things.
Was he trying to hit Justin Reese?
I don't know. No. Saw Justin Reese finish, so that was cool. Bone stock.
Yeah,
for the most part, Toyota finishing.
It's got diamond axles, but
it has a diamond housings. Front. It has a stock Land Cruiser rear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it has a Land Cruiser front third member and ball joints.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I sat down with him for a quick moment and walked around his rig and looked at it. And I was at the Yoda Mafia tent. Yoda Mafia was there, Breland.
Yep.
And, Yoda Mafia sponsored Justin Reese.
Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that was cool.
That's
and
cool.
So I ended up going over there to say like goodbye to Breland and Justin was there. And so I started just poking around his rig going like,
perfect.
Oh, 9.5 fronts. And I'm like, you running Land Cruiser balls? Yes, I am. What axle shafts? RCVs. Okay. What is this, a stock rear Land Cruiser axle? It's offset. Is that doesn't bother you? No, that doesn't. That's not an issue. Oh, that's interesting. Just going down the list.
Yeah, that rig is, he's, so for those who don't know, Justin Reese is the stock Toyota brown, sand brownish pickup that has now won it twice.
Yeah.
It was the stock class, the 4600
Both
class.
Years I was there. I just want to point out. Okay. So, Justin, I'm your good luck charm. You're right. I watched last night, actually, I watched the Battle of Badlands.
I want to see that. I still haven't seen it.
I think I have like 48 hours left on my rental.
Oh, good.
So, maybe we can pull it up somehow.
Yeah.
But, it was good. It was a really, it's like a documentary sort of about King of the Hammers, but more about Justin.
Okay.
And, about kind of what he has to go through and what they do for that class and all the work he does and some background on him. And then, about the King of the Hammers, Everyman Challenge race. Mm-hmm. So it was a really cool episode.
Nice. That's cool. So the rest of the day, I mean, were you just checking people as they came across the finish line and then?
Yeah, for the most part.
Okay.
Yeah, I was checking in. By that time, it was pretty late. You know, the race had been called and they were calling people that weren't going to come near the finish, you know, home. And that's what ended up happening with Amber. Amber had like, I'm sure Wheeling and Wine and Whiskey will go into it a lot, but she put brand new Deaver springs on her rig.
Yeah.
Right. So you take off from the start line, you do like 90 degree turn and then you hit a jump, right?
Yeah.
She like straight in nose dove off that jump and hit so hard. She bent her leaf springs.
The new ones?
The brand new ones. Because I think she's still shackle forward too.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So when she nosed it, those shackles went back. It literally bent the leafs higher than the arc.
Yeah.
You know, so like it lifted her front end, you know.
One way to do a suspension
and
lift.
So when she did the first lap, and when she came, I think when she came into Hammertown, like after the first lap, I'm not exactly sure on the details. They did a leaf spring swap and they tried to find somebody's leaf springs, like other racers. Everybody else is spring over. She's still spring under.
Oh geez.
And there was actually a guy, a spectator in our campground that had a spring under Samurai, and he donated his springs off of his rig to her.
Wow. And
so they took his rig down. They took the leaf springs off. When she got into pit, they swapped the leaf springs. She took off. They left his rig as is. Mm-hmm. When she finished, they took the leaf springs off, put it back onto the guy's rig, and put the bad ones back onto Amber so she could drive away.
Wow. Yeah. That's
so
crazy.
That was wild. So that was really cool. I think it's Tribe 16.
Okay.
I know that Chris and Jason did an interview. I'm not sure with who. With Matt, not Matt Hall. Matt. He's a really big racer. I can't remember his last name. And Amber.
Okay.
And they're both Amber Tribe 16, which was Matt was help, which is part. There's some weird thing in there with the Jesse Combs Foundation. I think he partly owns some of that as well.
Okay.
They were helping Amber out.
Yep.
And so it'll be a really interesting interview to see how all that went down. Yeah.
Nice. That's cool.
So,
all right. So how was camp that night? I'm sure.
Yeah. Camp rowdy. That night got pretty rowdy. you know, all of our racers were done racing for the most part that we were hanging out with. It got pretty, pretty crazy. I didn't feel that great. Was it that night? No, it was the night after I cooked.
Okay.
I think I just ate way too much deep fried food.
Okay.
And I didn't feel too good. And so like, I didn't sleep that well that night. You know, my stomach was hurt. It was to the point where I was like, should I get out of my tent and just barf and get rid of this?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was just having this stomach pain. And so the next night I went to bed fairly early cause I didn't sleep that well the night before.
Okay.
So, which was a good thing cause it got people were rowdy. Hurting. Oh, the next day. Yeah.
Was it like me out of after?
No, not that bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
After coming one with God behind the bear box?
Yeah. So the next morning was the Ultra 4 race.
Mm-hmm.
So
the 4400.
Woke up early again, went down. On the way down, I saw Benny from
Benihana.
No, Benny. He's a Valley Taco.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it was funny because I was all media'd out, right, in my vest, and I see him parking. And so I turn and I go beeline right towards him. And he had no, like, I'm in a face mask, right? Because when you're in the media, when you're on the media vest, they were like, you need to wear your face mask. Yeah. Like, we are being watched thoroughly, and nobody can screw up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like, okay, when the media vest's on, face mask is on. And so I'm walking towards him, like, just, I was going one direction, turn and go right at him. And he's like, am I parked in the wrong spot, sir? And I was like, what up, Benny? It's Jimmy. And he's like, oh, I thought you were going
to. You should have said, yes. Can you move 10 feet over, please?
Yeah, exactly.
See if he does it.
And so that was really cool. I haven't met him in person. And he's a huge, user and what's the word I'm looking for? A huge advocate, I guess, for snail armor.
Nice.
You know, he's he shows it off a lot, and I get a lot of discount codes coming in from him.
Nice.
So it was cool to meet him in person, but I was like, hey, I got to run. I've got to go film the start.
Yeah.
And so I got some B roll of the rigs rolling by, and then I went like right up to the start line.
They were letting you guys do that?
They were.
Bastards. Yeah. If I'd known that.
Yeah. And so that day I was like right at the start line, filmed them taking off, went around the corner a little bit, got them drifting, went down a little bit, got them like
launching,
about to launch, went to the area like right at the launch so I could catch them jumping, went a little bit farther down so I can catch them landing, and then went a little bit farther down so I could catch the landing and then to the next turn. Yeah. So that when the video comes out, that'll be really cool.
Nice. You're just going to kind of blend them together with a bunch of different cars.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
I did film a lot, and I'm considering not releasing any of it until like January of next year.
Oh, interesting.
As like a prep, you know, like everybody's getting ready for King of the Hammers. Let's, here comes a video. You
okay.
know? So that's, I'm considering that instead, because there's so much now, right now, King of the Hammers talk and everything. People are, I'm sure, are getting tired of it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I'll wait till next year. And
yeah, 'tis the season.
Recap of 2021 or whatever. So that next day, I ran around a lot of places. We went to back door. I went, like, with the vest, I went all the way into back door.
Nice.
And got some really good backdoor action.
You would.
Caught the Can-Ams going up backdoor.
Oh, geez.
The only person that I saw while I was there was one of the Gomez brothers. He attempted it. He attempted to go up. Everybody else, and he did it once, everybody else nosed up and then pulled a winch.
Pulled a winch on out. Okay.
So I walked away right at the wrong time when I think it was Shannon Campbell. One of the Campbells comes, I think it was Shannon, comes ripping through. And then I hear everybody screaming.
Okay.
And I'm like, damn it. What did I miss?
Oh, man.
And then, yeah, somebody else rolled through that I wanted to catch. But I was already heading back. And then we went out to, went around to the backside of back door, which I guess would be front door or something.
Yeah.
But, and waited there for a while for some rigs to come
up and over.
Do the bypass of backdoor.
Okay.
And by that time,
you could do the bypass for backdoor?
Well, it was, you either on laps two or three, you had to do backdoor.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Okay.
If you already did backdoor or you did the bypass, then you have to do the opposite.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I was out in this area, and I think everybody has already gone. Like, everybody's either already gone through or...
You got to wait for the next lap now?
Wait for the next lap, and I'm like, I'm done with this. So then we headed out a little bit farther into the desert, and then came back to camp, and then we went up to the spot where I filmed some of the Everyman Challenge.
Okay.
And I walked up. This time I had the vest on, so I walked like all the way up to the race course, and I started talking to this dude in a Humvee. That was up there.
Is it Chris Paul? A Humvee, original one?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, you media? I'm like, yeah. He's like, cool. You know? And so we ended up just chatting. And I was like, yeah, I remember there was a really good like little jump right over here. And he's like, yeah, just down the way. If you go over there, you know what? Sometimes these guys just rip through and they'll catch some air. Like, sweet, I'm going to head over there. He's like, yeah, man, do it. So I go over there and I do a few different angles on that same spot. And then this UTV comes ripping up the course, like the wrong way.
Oh, right? No. Okay.
Yeah. And I hear him hop out of his Humvee, drop a bunch of F-bombs, like, you fuckers, get off the fucking track, fuck you, get out, what the fuck are you doing? You know, like, just screaming and yelling and pointing, and these guys are like, what's the matter, you know? And then they eventually, I don't know if they figured it out or just was, like, scared of some guy hopping out of a Humvee. Because he had, he was full, like, army-looking attire.
Okay. Right?
He had the a helmet on, and he had a laser beam on his helmet.
What?
Yeah. And so he said, I went and talked to him later. I'm like, what? Those guys are morons. And he was like, yeah, I get that all the time. And he's like, people come up this wash and want to hit this berm and because they think they can hit it at speed and they don't realize that it's on the track.
Yeah.
And he's like, but you know, when I hop out of a Humvee dressed like this and I hold my hand up at my laser and shine a laser at them, they get scared really quick. I'm like, well, it sounds like you've done this before. Great, yeah. He's like, yeah, I've done this for a few years now. It's a lot of fun.
I wonder if he's like the laser guy with the volunteer teams. They're like, get the laser guy out there.
Yeah. I saw him the day before, also in the more or less the same spot.
Okay.
And, but I wasn't wearing the vest or anything, so I didn't go up there. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you guys were here yesterday, huh? And I was like, yeah, we were. Yeah. So he saw us. But
yeah, he pays attention.
I saw him, but I didn't go talk to him because I wasn't wearing the proper attire to walk past the legal boundary or whatever. Uh-huh. So,
you just didn't want to get yelled at by a guy in a Humvee and a laser.
Yeah, pretty much. And that Humvee scooted across the ground, too. So then we ended up going back down to Hammertown, catching the winner, one or two of the first places, and they argued about who finished first. But there was a lot of drama this year.
Really?
Yeah, with not bad drama. It's just like, you know, I can't remember his name. Jason Shear ran out of gas, you know, and there was a big clog in Chocolate Thunder, you know, and just... You know, people having problems, a lot of people breaking, some of the big names having problems and breaking, a lot of winch lines breaking, which I thought was funny because, you know, I would be feel really bad if I was a winch line sponsor.
Right. Well, like, Shannon said after the race that he broke three winch lines throughout the race.
Yeah.
I was like, geez.
So what winch do you, which line are you running? Because I don't want that one. Yeah. Granted, your rig is heavy and you're probably not hooking it up properly and you're just ratcheting it around
that,
rocks.
And, that and know. when they're winching, it's because they are stuck. They're,
yeah, exactly.
They put themselves in some very massive position.
Yeah, and you're trying to pull yourself up a wall. I know. Yeah, but it does not say anything beneficial for the winch line company.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, congratulations. I'm a really big name winch company and I broke three lines, you know, but.
One thing that I thought was really interesting because, so I was watching while I was working on some stuff on the computer, right? It had the stream going on one screen while I was working on the stuff on the other screen. And, the commentating was off from the mainstream.
Oh, really?
And then they would talk about that on the $30 stream, the premium stream, they would start talking about a bunch of stuff on that, which I get totally. You want to drive people to the premier streaming. But there was a lot of times when like stuff that they were talking about on the video feed was 10 to 15 minutes different from when they were talking about it.
Wow.
And I was like, interesting. Maybe it was just the YouTube stream that was like that, but I was really confused for a really long time. One thing they said, there was a rollover with a pretty big injury.
Yes.
I want to say it was one of the Gomez's.
Tom Wade's.
Tom Wade's. That's what it was.
Wade's? Wade's. Tom
Wade's. And so, I forget which announcer it was, but he was like, man, if you're so-and-so, you're going to be coming by. They were following one of the cars, you know, he says, oh, he's coming up on the rollover right now. Now, he goes, if it was him, he's going to drive right on by. You have to in this race. You see one of your competitors down, you got to go for it. You need to win. And I was like, bullshit, that's not what this is about.
The
car stopped and the driver got out and looked and he goes, I don't know why. That just goes to show what cool sport this is. But I was like, shut up, get out of here, dude.
Yeah. No, unless there's a dude standing out there giving you the thumbs up, you're stopping.
Yeah, exactly, right? And that's what's cool about this race.
Yes.
That's what's cool about it. Not that, oh no, you have to, even though it's so competitive now, they still stop to help each other out.
Yeah, while I was at back door, there was some guy walking up the course wearing a fire suit, carrying a camel pack, right? And he walked up into the middle of back door, and he's just sitting there. I'm like, what is this dude doing?
Yeah.
Right? And then somebody comes pulling up, and he's like, give me your winch cable. Give me your winch cable. And I'm like, spectators, like, I don't know why that guy's allowed out here. And they're, you know, like, nobody's allowed to help him. And then it dawned on me, like, the light bulb went off. Oh, he's a racer.
He's a racer.
Racers can help other racers.
Yep.
And his rig must be busted or broken or down, but they haven't declared themselves out of the race
yet.
So he just, their rig is down. He didn't declare himself out. Then he walked up the course to back door.
Yeah, no, that's super cool, right? So that's a lot of, I know the racers and co-drivers, they'll do that, where if they get out early, they'll be like, oh, let's just work our way back to Hammertown, walk their way back and leave the car out there somewhere. And then they'll walk over to back door and help out at back door or go wherever.
That's Shannon or one of the guys was helping in that King's Graveyard. I forget. They broke in King's Graveyard. Well, Cody, it might have been Cody Wagner. They broke in King's Graveyard and he was just...
Cameron Steele.
Was it Cameron Steele?
He was driving Cody's car.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They're like, yeah, well, we'll help out. You know, like, I'll just help winch people.
Yeah, that year, last year when I was working back door on the recoveries for the UTVs, two guys were out of it and they just walked up into back door and helped us roll over. And anytime, you know, after a rollover, they had tons of broken tie rods and whatnot. They would sit there and help the people fix tie rods and replace tie rods and everything in the UTVs. And I was like,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, that day went by really fast because I was just running around and filming all day long.
Yeah.
And then it ended, you know, just as the way that the last ones have ended, and where it was, okay, we're going to have a lot of fun at camp and hang out. But by that point, a lot of people were kind of already packed up, right?
It's Saturday.
Yeah. And so our goal was to leave at 5 a.m.
Okay.
And be packed up and ready to go, you know, and then some people like Jason, you know, can pack fully up and then sleep in his camper and just jump in his rig kind of and get going. Where I was like, I had to fold up my tent. I had to move things around. I had to reorganize my truck, you know, so I had to wake up a little earlier. And then Clifford does not like starting in cold weather.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking about it in the middle of the night. I was like, man, I should have used the Jackery box and like plugged Clifford in all night because it has one of those like engine block warmers.
Okay. Yep.
But I didn't think of it until like the next morning when I was laying in bed going like, I'm not sure if I'm going to get him started. And I didn't for the most part.
Really?
I tried and tried and tried until the batteries were so dead that it was just doing that like click, 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 click.
Yeah.
And then Rodney pulled up and he gave me a jump. And then for the most part, right after that, it started. It just needed, because by then I cranked it over. It warmed the engine up so many times.
You just didn't have enough battery to keep the starter
voltage
going.
To get going. Yeah. And then so once I had the extra voltage, it pretty much roared to life.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then from there, it was pretty smooth sailing all the way out. As soon as we got onto Boone Road, we were in a line, but the line was moving the whole time.
Oh, nice.
For the most part. I think we came to a stop once at like one of the washes.
Wow.
And we were going we were going about as fast as I would have wanted to go, which is nice.
That's pretty good pace then.
Yeah, it was good. Cruised all the way back. We stopped at Harris Ranch on the way. We stopped a few times on the way back. Harris Ranch was cool. I've never actually stopped there.
They,
you know, Harris Ranch beef, you know, and all makes sense. And they had a phenomenal barbecue place. So that was really fun. That was a lot of fun to stop there. And then got home in plenty of time, you know, fairly early because we left fairly early.
Yeah.
Was listening to some of the Super Bowl on the way home. And
okay.
Yeah.
You didn't miss anything with Super Bowl.
Not really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. I wanted to give a few shout outs to some people that I saw. I apologize if I don't mention you because I saw a lot of people and I forgot a lot of people's names also. But Slow County Crawlers were out there. Jeremy, Sean, Red, Justin, Billy Knuckles.
Okay.
You know, ran into Eddie out there.
Scuba Steve?
I don't know. Cruiser Steve?
Cruiser Steve, yeah.
No, Cruiser
Scuba.
Steve wasn't
Scuba
out
Cruiser
there.
Steve.
No. You know, saw Taco Dust.
Oh, nice.
Ran into him one morning, talked for a quick second. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how tatted up that guy was.
Really?
Oh God. Yeah. He's tatted. And his minion that was hanging out with him. I don't know who he was. Let's see. I mean, got to see, Breland from Yoda Mafia, mm-hmm. you know, got to run into a few patrons out there, which was fun. Lenny LePage was at our camp for a few nights. So nice. That was fun. It was funny talking to him, and he was like, yeah, I'm one of your guys' earliest patrons. And then he was like, yeah, I'm the Total Off-Roads first patron. Like, no way. And so I ended up calling Steve, and I just put Lenny on the phone. He was like, hey, I'm your number one patron. And Steve like knew it like that.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was super funny. We ended up doing that old elk. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you
saw. That was really cool, yeah.
Where he was like pouring me a drink, and old elk flipped out. They loved it. Yeah. And so Jason was like, hey, man, we got to organize that for the next night with me and Steve, and we can do the whole thing, you know? And I was like, okay, let me call Steve and see if he's down for it again. And he was fine. You know, and he's like, yeah, dude, totally. And so then Jason and Steve did it, and they did a good job on that one too. Nice. So yeah. So thanks, Steve. Old Elk loved it. They were stoked about the whole thing.
That's great.
Oh, yeah. And geez, I don't know. There was so many people that I ran into. It's, it's hard to say, remember all the names, mm-hmm. but people saw me and just came up and said hi. And, mm-hmm. A lot of times I saw people out there that are, oh, hey, Harry Wagner, good to see you, long time.
Yeah.
So, if I didn't mention you, I apologize. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Yeah. Nice.
Until next year.
How was, Hammertown? Was it that much different or not as crowded, or how many people were there?
It was pretty busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was, it seemed as big as it was the year that I was there. And I mean, it probably wasn't as crowded because they did limit it, that if you could go in or not. But it was still pretty.
Were they just limiting capacity, or were they limiting people based on the COVID test?
Limiting via COVID test.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. So if you didn't have the blue wristband, you couldn't go in.
Gotcha.
So that was the limitation. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're limiting if, population or volume wise. No.
Okay.
I got to see, Jarrett from Crawl TV, so it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
Ran into some other YouTubers, so it was pretty cool.
The race, was super interesting to me because, like I said, I was watching and they had maybe half to three quarters of the third lap to go. And, Slauson was like in 9th, 10th, or 11th place, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, it was right as, Jason Shear, ran out of gas.
Okay. Yeah.
That I kind of stopped watching.
Oh.
And, I was like, okay, yeah, one of these, Cameron Steele was just killing it all day long. And I was like, Cameron's going to win it. And I was like, okay, cool. And so I shut it off. And turned around and walked away and worked on some other stuff. And then I checked my phone later that night and Slauson won it. And I was like, what? Yeah. And it turns out like everybody that was in front of him broke down. And I was like, geez, that last one quarter of the race.
Yeah.
Last 25% of the race, everybody broke down and Slauson just cruised right by everybody.
Pretty much. Kind of. Yeah. Yeah, and congratulations to Slauson.
That's huge.
His third time winning. So he's
now the third person that's done that, or two?
I believe he's the third.
Okay.
Three-peat.
Yeah, because there's Shannon. Shannon's done a three-peat. Who was the second one?
Is it Healy or Lauren Healy?
Was it Lauren?
Or Lauren, I don't know. It's one of those.
Mm-hmm. Shirley, not Levi?
It might be Levi.
It's either Levi or Lauren. I forget which one.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, congratulations to Slauson. So that's cool. He is kind of up here, sort of in our neck of the woods. So, yeah.
Isn't he in Gardnerville?
It's either Gardnerville or is he Gardnerville? I thought it was Reno.
I thought it was Gardnerville.
Yeah. That's even closer. That's better. we'll see. I've got a, we're working on getting him on the podcast. So
cool.
Let's put that there.
Yeah.
So that's cool. It's a fun time. It sounds like a fun week.
Yeah.
Glad you had a good time. Glad you got to get some footage and see a bunch of people and you got a couple fun interviews out of it and, some good video footage, which may not come out until next year, but,
we have a good episode coming out on 170 and then we recorded an episode, with, Jason and I and, with another person, who
Samurai James.
No,
I was like, that one already came out.
Yeah. I think I'll sort of tease the episode a little bit, but it's with the new irate 4x4 owner.
Okay.
Which is the new pirate 4x4 form.
Irate
4x4.
Got, so, I got it.
You get it? You just removed the P.
Yeah.
So it's with the owner of that. And who actually was camped right near us. And so he was super cool, really nice guy. And I think it's really cool with what he's doing.
Nice.
And I'm stoked that we were able to capture his side of the story and share that out with everybody, because I think this could replace that completely.
Nice.
So
cool. I'm excited to hear about that one. Mm-hmm. I like hearing about people building off-road communities in whatever media or channel they're doing it in. So nice. Awesome. Anything else you wanted to add to the episode here before we start looking into closing it out?
No, I don't. Nothing off the top of my head. I'm sure when I'm driving away, I'll be like, "Oh, I should have said this. I should have done that." But yeah, it was. I mean, it was a great trip. Mm-hmm. I think about 50% to 40% of the people or population volume attended. Mm-hmm. My guess is there was about 40,000 people there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, but it's still crazy, crazy times down at Backdoor. Crazy times up at Chocolate Thunder. It was still a wild event, still a lot of fun, still fireworks going off at 3 a.m.
You know, it was all night long.
All night long. Yeah, I think Jason said it. Quiet hours are from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because at 5 a.m., usually the race car trucks are starting up and doing something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was. If you haven't been to Hammers, put it on your bucket list.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a bucket list item for sure.
Next year, I think it's going to be huge.
It's going to be big next year because the big story this year was Litebrite. Mm-hmm. And I think if it wasn't for the COVID restrictions, it would have been a lot bigger. The video stream was filled with Litebrite fans. Yeah. Almost every single person would come in and ask about their 999. Yeah. How's 999 doing? How's 999? Hashtag Litebrite Nation. Hashtag the button. How's Litebrite doing? Well,
yeah. Jeez. I was talking to Jarrett, who is at work in the Baja Designs booth, and he knows them pretty well. And they came over. And so I got to say hi to them. But man, I might quit YouTube because I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like a celebrity like that.
Okay. You don't want that much notoriety?
No.
But you can just buy a Ultra 4 4400 class car and then go race it. Mm-hmm.
How'd they do?
They finished.
Did they?
Yeah. They finished. I don't know what number. I forget which number they were, but they crossed the line. They didn't time out. So.
Yeah. I filmed them when I was up in that... up there hanging out with the 8 Humvee. Mm-hmm. I filmed them going through and they didn't catch air on the jump. Yeah. they were being strategic.
Yes.
We'll put it that way.
Yeah. They were biding their time and just making sure that they could finish. I think is what they were doing,
which is a way to play that game.
100%. It's not a wrong way to play it. So I just think it's really interesting. I'm curious to see what it does to the sport of Ultra 4 racing. Start getting more and more notoriety to it, you know, how is it going to, turn into something that kind of becomes a sellout kind of thing and really completely morphs away from where it started at? Or will Ultra 4 be able to maintain its, I don't want to say its traditionalness, but.
Well, I want to touch on that in a second, but I want to continue to talk about Litebrite also, that I thought it was. They do a lot of different things too, because like they bought a drift car, and they go drifting. They bought a race car and they race, like autocross or something. They have their Jeep, right, that they take out wheeling, and now they're doing Ultra 4. So it's like I think that's really cool what they're doing. Is they're like almost any automotive, you know, thing that they want to get into and try it. So I think they're popular enough to be able to pull that off.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Another thing that was interesting, and I don't know how much of this was true. I kind of heard it like sort of through the grapevine. So I'll put that out there first.
Okay.
But there were a lot of rigs rebranded as Fords this year. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of Bronco-esque looking vehicles. Mm-hmm. And what I heard was that Ford was giving $1,000 if you crossed the finish line and you had Ford or Bronco, or your vehicle looked like a Bronco on it.
Yep.
And if you were running a Ford powertrain, they were giving you another $1,000 if you crossed the finish line.
So that's some of the deals that goes down in contingency. So the whole contingency thing is essentially you get the chance to drive your car through all the vendors. That was what it started out as. You can drive your car through all the vendors, and if any vendors will be like, or if the car and vendor, driver, vendor, whatever, gets together and they're like, hey, if you finish, you know, we'll give you all this product for your charge, and or if you finish, we'll give you this much cash. And there's always like contingency offers based into finishing. And so Ford has made a massive push into doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
So going into your thing about Lightbright, about how is this going to be like a bunch of celebrities are just going to fall in and want to do it. My thing I was thinking about was, are there going to be a bunch of large automotive
That's what I'm concerned about. Yeah.
Coming into this now and being like, no, I only want you to run Ford things. I only want you to run Chevy things. I only want you to run Toyota things. And having sort of only branded like large corporation vehicles out there.
That's kind of what I'm worried about it becoming like NASCAR.
Yes.
Like I don't want to see cars driving around with just these massive logos all over them and the drivers having to have these massive logos all over their fire suit.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to see that. I want it to maintain that.
Yeah.
That well, I don't want to say the redneck Burning Man feel to it, but I want to see it maintain the redneck Burning Man feel.
I think the Everyman Challenge is going to be that way.
Okay.
But I think I'm afraid to say it, but I think Ultra 4 will go
kind of like the NASCAR
where the money is.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, unless you have the money.
Yeah.
And you don't need, you know, look at how many vehicles had Ford. Or Bronco on their vehicle. And I don't know how many changed their entire engine to be a Ford engine over an LS, right? And that was so you could make $2,000
more
if you finish.
Yeah.
Right? Because what the winner gets $1,500. Yeah.
$2,000 pays for the labor to check your third members.
I saw the winner of the 4,600 class won $1,500.
Wow.
Right. So what's another $2,000?
Yeah.
You know, that's over the grand prize, you know, sort of thing. So yeah, if other car companies or other large corporations are going to drop that kind of coin, I think it's going to go that way.
Well, in that case, then if Toyota wants to release their electric drivetrain for the Tacoma and sport the new dual state batteries, Jimmy and I would not turn that down for next year's race.
Yeah, we will be more than happy to run the EV class.
The EV Tacoma in next year's race.
Which is a good segue into next week's episode.
And I think we'll leave it at that. I did want to touch a little bit on EVE.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But no, let's do it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be a longer episode, but I really want to know about those guys because I was watching closely their Instagram, trying to keep up with what they're doing down the lake bed. And it was super freaking cool to see those guys finish.
Yes.
And
so cool.
There was a bunch of talk on the First Gen 4Runner Facebook page because they're running a First Gen 4Runner, right? And with the Leaf power plant in it, the motor and the battery system. And people were kind of giving them shit a little bit. They were like, that's so cool that a First Gen 4Runner did it. But they like kind of discredited them about how, like, the biggest complaint I saw was that it looked like a bunch of clowns trying to hump a battery packs in and out of the car at the remote pit one. And I was like, okay, you fucking get out there and try and hump a 500-pound battery pack in and out of a
few hundred first pounds.
Right? I'm like, come on. They're like, well, why didn't they use an engine hoist? I was like, have you tried to use an engine hoist on a dry lake bed?
On dirt?
On dirt? Come on.
Put like, some big old tires
like,
on
come
there,
on. Stop being assholes. You guys do not realize what these guys just did.
Yeah.
And like they're like, it just looked like they weren't really trying. And I was like, no, they're trying to complete it without burning everything down. Like that's this was just a proof of concept.
Yeah.
And like people were giving them shit about not doing it good enough. I'm like, fuck you guys.
What's crazy is that I don't know, about halfway through their race, they broke their power steering.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so what was wild is that the proof of concept of the electric vehicle was working, but the mechanics of the vehicle broke.
Yeah. Right.
Right. And it's a crazy little story about how, like, when they got to Remote Pit 1, they had to take some stuff to somebody that was farther down the track.
Okay.
Right. And so they were going, driving to this, like, another team gave them, like, can you take this to our team? They need this to fix their vehicle.
Okay.
Right. And they're like, yeah, totally. And so they're driving down and then they break their power steering.
Okay.
Right. And in the box is what they need to fix their power steering. And so they fix their power steering.
Wow.
They drive up, they take the box to the people and they go, here's the box of parts that you guys need. We apologize. We broke and we needed this one part. And they said, that's fine. We don't need that part.
That's awesome. Right? Wow.
And so that was awesome. And then they ended up finishing the race, you know, limping it in like that.
That's cool.
Yeah. When I was watching it, I was like, you know, it's like, man, they're not really going that fast. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of like, when you're watching it, you're like, you know, like, what is this? The clown car, you know, kind of thing. Uh-huh. But my whole thought was that all they've got to do is finish.
Right.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Like, whatever, it doesn't matter how fast you're going. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you're doing. As long, you know, stay out of the way of the race.
Yeah.
But, if you're going to finish, you're going to finish.
Yeah.
And that's the goal of that race. Yeah. Some people have the goal of being first, you know, if they finish, they're going to get first.
Uh-huh.
You know, if they didn't,
or they're not going to finish,
they weren't going to get first.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that was great. One of the things I think I want to say is that a lot of times you saw them stopping,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the times they were doing that. Cause I talked to Kyle and Will, on the lake bed, that they were changing it out of two-wheel drive and four-wheel drive. Because when it's in four-wheel drive, it has more resistance and mm-hmm. it's using more battery.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to come to complete stops to do some just shifting into like first or second gears.
Okay.
So a lot of times they had to come to the stop to just sort of shift what gear they wanted.
Okay.
And so they stopped a lot. And I think that, you know, that just came down to how the vehicle was put together.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it was an accomplishment. They, they did it, you know, it was really cool to see them come across the finish in here. You know, I was watching the big screen and it was like the last 10 minutes when they were coming into Hammertown, it was all that, all about them, everything they're doing, you know, and that was like what was playing on the,
cool.
the TVs and everything. So it was pretty neat to see him be a part of and be there.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, did they go through Cougar Buttes then?
I don't think so.
Because I know Cougar Buttes is like the only rock section on the desert section, right?
Then they
go
way
out there. Typically, all the other classes do. They'd go out on this big, long desert mm-hmm. loop, and in that desert loop is Cougar Buttes.
Yeah, they must have because they did the first lap.
Okay.
Whatever the mm-hmm. EMC first lap is what they did.
Okay.
Then that first lap is 90 miles.
Okay.
And that was all they had to do.
Yeah.
I halfway expected them to go past the finish line and keep going, but they didn't. They went, they came across the finish line and turned in.
Wow. Go over to back door. Go back door with it.
No, they just parked it and then opened the hood and let people walk around and check it out and
nice.
Talk to people. And yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really neat. I know that Wheeling Wine and Whiskey is going to do an interview with Kyle and mm-hmm. his sister, who was the co-pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to do a whole follow-up with them and everything.
I figured they would. That's why I didn't want to touch on it a lot. I just wanted to kind of hear an update on how things were.
And I really want to try to get a hold of Kyle and go down and do a rig walk around on it.
Yeah.
And so we can talk about it and so we can get that out, that information, what they did and how it was made and, mm-hmm. you know, what parts went into it.
Yeah.
I think that would be really neat to document.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Awesome. Well, then let's wrap this episode up here. We're going to have one more episode of some Hammer stuff next week. It's not really Hammer stuff, it's Hammer's inspired.
Yeah,
we'll put it that way on Monday. So look forward to that. We have a really cool interview coming up with you guys for you guys on episode 170. Look for that. And that's all that I have to say for now. Do you have any final words for everybody?
Hammer lung.
With that, my friends, keep growling. We'll be right back.
in off of the road. So we couldn't really, like, we ended up driving this huge circle, like, around them. Oh, rookie move. It's Gear Wrench Corey. Should we answer it?
Yeah.
Yo, Corey.
What up?
How's it going?
Going good. How are you doing?
Doing all right. You're probably on the podcast right now.
I'm jumping on the podcast right now?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're interrupting the podcast, but I have you in speakerphone right up against the mic.
Oh, fantastic. And it's inexcusable that this podcast isn't out today and that you're recording today. Today is supposed to be released. I don't care whatever excuse you guys have of working or whatever. It's unacceptable.
Sounds good. I appreciate your feedback.
All right, guys. Have fun.
See ya.
See you, Corey. All right. Do you got any jokes, Mr. Funny Man?
I got one for you.
You do?
I do.
I'm excited. I haven't heard these for like over a week now.
What do clouds wear under their pants?
I don't know.
Shoot.
You don't know either?
I know, but I want to get it right. I just want to make sure it's correct.
Yeah.
Thunder pants.
Okay.
I was like, thunder shorts? No, that ain't right. Thunder pants. Shall we try that again?
No, that'll work.
Dang it.